Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 9th. Permian Basin natural gas production at all-time high. The EIA says producers respond to fluctuations in crude oil prices in planning exploration production. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Permian Basin marketed natural gas production capped off a steady rise by reaching a new annual high in 2021, according to the Energy Information Administration. The EIA said Permian Basin marketed natural gas, which has been rising steadily since 2012, reached 16.7 billion cubic feet per day. The agency said the Permian Basin is the nation's second largest shale gas producing region after the Appalachian Basin, which produced an average of 34.8 BCF per day in 2021. Tall City Exploration 3 is one of the Permian Basin producers that has noticed the increase in production. Mike Westman, President and Chief Executive Officer, told the Reporter Telegram by email his company's gross gas production has risen from 15 million cubic feet per day at the end of 2021 to over 25 million cubic feet per day in May of this year. Quote, "We anticipate that our gas production will increase further through 2022 as we continue to operate two rigs and ramp our overall net production to 20,000 net barrels of oil equivalent per day as we exit 2022, he said. Quote, "Texas oil and natural gas producers are meeting our energy needs here and abroad, and investment in the Permian Basin is expected to increase as much as 40% from last year to more than $25 billion in 2022, according to research group Rystad. Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, "If Texas were its own country, it would be the world's third largest producer of natural gas and fourth largest producer of oil," Staples continued. "The resiliency and commitment of this industry continues to prove noteworthy with increasing rig count, production, and jobs, and no one produces the oil and natural gas the world needs in a more environmentally responsible way than American producers," end quote. The EIA noted that, unlike the Appalachian Basin, where natural gas is produced from natural gas wells, most of the natural gas production in the Permian Basin is associated gas produced from oil wells. As a result, the agency said, Permian Basin producers respond to fluctuations in crude oil prices in planning their exploration and production activities, including whether to deploy drilling rigs or take rigs out of operation. Amid elevated crude oil prices from mid-2017, to the end of 2019, the number of drilling rigs operating in the Permian Basin remained high and peaked at an average of 492 rigs in November 2018, the EIA said. After crude oil prices and the rig count both declined in 2020, both prices and rig activity increased steadily in 2021. West Texas Intermediate averaged $68 per barrel for the year, compared with $39 averaged in 2020, and has continued to increase this year. At the same time, the number of rigs operating in the Permian Basin has also been rising. The EIA also noted that additional pipeline takeaway capacity in the Permian also supported natural gas production and delivering it to market. Point Logic estimates pipeline takeaway capacity in the Permian Basin to be 18 BCF a day as of May. Ladd declares bid for re-election. District 3 council seat is one of three spots up for grabs in November election. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Jack Ladd Jr. will seek another term as the city council representative for Central Midland. Ladd has served District 3 for 3 years after winning a five-person election in 2019. District 3 is one of three city seats on the November ballot. The mayor's seat and District 4, generally West Midland, are also on the ballot in November. The filing period for the November election is July 25th through August 22nd. Quote, I signed up believing that the decisions we make on city council were local, and they are, but what I did not realize is that over the last 3 years, the nation's and even the world's problems could come to our community, Ladd said in a statement. Continuing the quote, despite it all, Midland has thrived over the last 3 years. The downtown park, Centennial Park, has proven a huge success. Local businesses and jobs are being created in industries as diverse as apparel, breweries, restaurants, oil and gas, and even pickles. Events like the Lowe Street Market and the Downtown Farmers Market have provided a sense of community that I haven't seen in Midland since I was a child. I truly feel like we have come through the night of the pandemic, and to borrow a line, it is morning in Midland again. End quote. Ladd listed his work in the development of parks, including the new hike and bike trails in southeast Midland, Harris Park. He said he was instrumental in stopping the city's use of an Austin lobbyist that wasn't working in Midland's interests while charging our taxpayers $10,000 a month in the process. He said during the pandemic that the council created grants to help small business owners keep their doors open. He also listed water source development, region's transportation funding, first responder recruiting, and working with other local entities as positive steps that took place during his first term. Ladd also has been elected as the chairman of the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which serves to represent our region's transportation interest to Austin, and is also a representative for West Texas to the Texas Municipal League. Quote, despite working full-time as an attorney, I have treated my council position as a second full-time job, Ladd wrote. I am proud to say I have never missed a council meeting in my 3-year term. If a resident took the time to send me an email personally, I answered that email personally. I hope to have the honor to serve as your District 3 representative for another term, and truly believe that the best is yet to come for Midland. End quote. Front darkens skies, cools off Midland. The National Weather Service reported Wednesday that a cold front moving through the region was responsible for the dust storm that created ominous-looking conditions in the late morning in Midland. National Weather Service officials said the winds, topping out around 50 to 55 miles per hour, moved over the open fields north of Midland, picked up dirt and dust, and limited the visibility here. A dust advisory was in effect during the early afternoon, according to the National Weather Service. The front went farther south than expected, and with it pushed cooler air into the region. In fact, the high temperature Wednesday reached 91 degrees, which was 4 degrees below average and 9 degrees below the expected high temperature. The streak of 100-degree days at Midland International Airport ended at 3. MISD announces 4 new principal hires. District names new leaders for Abel Junior High, Parker, Scarber, Henderson Elementaries. Midland ISD announced on Wednesday the appointment of 4 principals to serve students. Each of these principals is currently working in MISD and is being promoted from within. Candidates interviewed with a panel consisting of district administrators, campus personnel, parents, and community members. Selected candidates were then interviewed by Superintendent Ramsey, and offers were made. Crystal Clark will serve as the next principal at Abel Junior High. Clark just completed her first year in Midland, serving as principal at the Midland Alternative Program campus. Before coming to West Texas, she served in a variety of roles in Tyler ISD, including DAEP coordinator, instructional coach, and assistant principal. She recently earned her doctorate in curriculum and instruction from the University of West Florida. Longtime MISD educator Andrea Rodriguez will be the next principal at Parker Elementary. Rodriguez has spent her entire career at Midland ISD. Her experience includes teaching at Santa Rita Elementary and more recently serving as assistant principal at Bowie Fine Arts Academy. In these roles, Rodriguez has organized STAR and TELPAS testing, data analysis, T-test appraisals, and promoted involvement in the Texas Reading Academy. Rodriguez is currently pursuing her doctorate of philosophy in educational leadership from Texas Tech University. Iris Jimenez moves back to campus to be the next principal at Scarborough Elementary. This past school year, Jimenez served as an academic director supporting schools and curriculum. Before coming to Midland, she spent 22 years in El Paso, where she served in a variety of roles, including teacher, assistant principal, and principal. She was honored as Teacher of the Year in 2002 by Tornillo ISD. Jimenez is thrilled to have the opportunity to return to a campus full-time where she can make a direct difference for students, according to the district. Current South Elementary Assistant Principal Maxine Gonzalez will be the next principal at Henderson Elementary. After beginning her career in La Mesa, Gonzalez came to MISD in 2016. She has served as an instructional coach and teacher at Bonham, while that campus made major improvements in performance. She has since served as assistant principal at both Santa Rita and South Elementaries, where she served as campus testing coordinator and created professional development for T-Test and CHAMPS. Quote, "These newly appointed principals have a proven track record of leadership and creating an environment that promotes student success," said MISD Associate Superintendent Charlie Garcia. Quote, "We look forward to seeing each of them leading their new campuses into the future," end quote. These principals will officially begin their new roles on July 1st.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 9th, 2022. Community. 35th Annual Mextex Family Fiesta returns Saturday by Mercedes Cordero. The 35th Annual KRW and Raul Malhotra Mextex Family Fiesta is returning to Midland this weekend. The year's event will take place Saturday at Centennial Park in downtown Midland. Gates will open at 10 a.m. Music headliners will include Tejano music artists David Lee Garza, David Mares, David Farias, and Los Desperados. Also returning this year is the Menudo Cook-Off and a Children's Parade. Food truck and vendor applications are still open. Contact Tracy Vaez at 432-556-3711 if interested. Tickets can be purchased by visiting Midland hcc.com/mex-techs-. City of Midland pool schedule. Locations: Doug Russell Aquatic Center, 900 North Midland Drive, and Washington Aquatic Center, 1601 East Indiana. Entry fees: $3 per person, and children ages 2 and under are free. Days and hours: Tuesdays, Doug Russell is closed. Thursdays, Washington is closed. Mondays and Wednesdays, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Thursdays, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 9 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Sundays, 1 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Family night, 7 to 9 p.m. at Doug Russell on Thursdays. Family night, 7 to 9 p.m. at Washington on Tuesdays. Passes are sold 30 minutes before the posted opening times at the pool and will be limited to a 3-hour period listed as Session A in the morning and Session B in the afternoon. Online, midlandtexas.gov/204/midland-swimming-pools. Summer camps and vacation Bible schools. Summer camps: Kids College, for students who have completed 1st through 6th grades, Session 2, June 20th through 30th. Online, midland.edu/continuing-education/kids-college/index.php. Ologies Summer Camp at Sibley Nature Center. Cost: $40 for members and $45 for non-members. Ages 5 through 8, Tuesday and Wednesday, June 21st and 22nd, or July 19th and 20th. Ages 9 through 12, Thursday and Friday, June 23rd and 24th, or July 21st and 22nd. Discovery Camp at Museum of the Southwest, grades 6 through 8, July 19th through the 22nd. Old School Summer Camp for 2nd through 6th graders, Session 1 through June 10th at MLK Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. Session 2, July 15th through 22nd at St. Mark's United Methodist Church. Online, bit.ly/oldschoolcoolregistration. Vacation Bible Schools: True Light Christian Fellowship, VBS Monumental, June 20th through 24th. West Kentucky Baptist Church, Spark Studios, July 18th through 22nd. The Midland Quilters Guild invites you to hear Master Quilter Sue Hines, "You've Got a Friend Named Elmer," a simple technique that will help you achieve your wildest piecing dreams. Sue will be sharing samples of her quilts and quilting Tuesday, June 14th, in the Fellowship Hall of Holy Trinity Episcopal Church, 1412 West Illinois, in Midland. Social time at 6:30 p.m. Program begins at 7 p.m. Please park and enter from the Ohio Street parking lot of the church. Community Roundup. Events. Keep Midland Beautiful Clue Crew, 9 a.m. Thursday at Centennial Park. Curtis Grimes, Thursday at Rockin' Rodeo. MCT's Summer Mummers, Friday and Saturday, June 17th and 18th, 24th and 25th, July 1st and 2nd, 8th and 9th, and 15th and 16th at the Yucca Theater. Mextex Family Fiesta, Saturday at Centennial Park. March for Meals, Saturday at Midland College. Small Town Cover Story, Sunday at Museum of the Southwest. Sibley Family Farmers Market, June 14th at Sibley Nature Center. Daddy Stories, 2 p.m. June 17th at Manor Park. American Cancer Society presents Midland Roundup, a Cattle Baron's Ball, June 18th at the Horseshoe Complex. Midland Airs, June 19th at Museum of the Southwest. Sibley Family Farmers Market, June 18th at Sibley Nature Center. Keys for Hope Fundraiser, 6 p.m. June 24th at the Petroleum Club of Midland. The Croakin' Toads, June 26th at Museum of the Southwest. Treaty Oak Revival, July 10th at Museum of the Southwest. Tall City Band, July 17th at Museum of the Southwest. Unsweet Teas, July 31st at Museum of the Southwest. Celebration of the Arts Premiere Party, July 15th at Shap Center. Celebration of the Arts, July 16th and 17th at Shap Center. Show of Supports Shoot for Heroes Clay Shoot, July 29th at Windwalker Farms. Movies in the Park. All movies start at dusk in the city of Midland. Boss Baby Family Business, June 17th at Hill Park, 1301 West Cuthbert. Cruella, July 8th at C.J. Kelly Park, 5500 League Drive. Sing 2, July 22nd at Dennis the Menace Park, 2201 West Indiana. Encanto, July 29th at Hogan Park, 1201 East Wadley. And Luca, August 12th at Centennial Park, 200 West Wall. Monthly Meeting. Parkinson's Disease Monthly Meeting, 5:30 p.m. the first Tuesday at Midland at Mid-Cities Church. For more information, call 432-684-3999.
This is Jane reading for the Odessa American for Saturday, June 4th, from the obituary and death notice section. Virginia Ann Lamberton was a caring wife, mother, grandmother, sister, and friend. She left this world peacefully on April 13th and will be greatly missed. Jenny was born in Vernon, Texas, to Walter and Florine Underwood Gardner on December 8th, 1941. She is survived by her grandchildren, Stephen Lamberton, Nicole Rainey, Sean Miftari, Michael David Lamberton, and Chelsea Lamberton, and several great-grandchildren. Funeral service will take place on Saturday, June 11th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home in Odessa. Burial service at Sunset Memorial Cemetery will immediately follow. flowers may be sent to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To leave condolences for the family, please visit www.ebensberger-fisher.com. Arrangements with Ebensberger Fisher Home of Bernie. In Tyler, Texas, Becky Sam Dixon, former longtime Odessan, age 79, passed from this life on June 1st in Tyler, Texas. She was born September 30th, 1942, in Stamford to Sam Tom Moberly and Charles Alberta Fryer Moberly of Odessa. Those left to cherish her love and memories include her husband of 35 years, William Clarence Dixon, her sister Judy DeWeese, niece Debbie Elmer, nephew Steve DeWeese and Brad DeWeese, and several stepchildren. A celebration of life will be held for Becky Sam at 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 11th at Hilliard Funeral Home, 386 North Maple Avenue in Van, Texas, with Reverend Kenneth Meadows officiating. In Odessa, Yesenia Inez Perez, 18, passed from this life on May 28th. She was born to Robert Christopher Perez and Veronica Valerio on January 2nd, 2004. Those left to cherish her memories are her mother, Veronica Valero, her father, Robert Christopher Perez, siblings Nicole, Isabel, Gloria, Gabriela, Faith, Ezekiel, and Daria. A visitation will be held on Monday, June 6th, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Tuesday, June 7th, from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the 24-hour chapel at Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa. A funeral will be held Wednesday, June 8th at 1 p.m. at the 24-hour chapel at Acres West Funeral Home in Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa. Condolences to the family may be made online at acreswestfuneral.com. In Odessa, Pamela Jane Price, 77, died on May 22nd. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Good morning, this is Kim. I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, June 9th. Garcia pleads in death of twin girls. A Midland woman pleaded guilty to two counts of intoxication manslaughter Wednesday in the July 2019 deaths of six-year-old twin girls, and jurors are now hearing evidence in the punishment phase of her trial. Angelica Garcia, 38, admitted she was drunk when she struck Mia and Maya Coy as they played outside their family-operated fireworks stand on the North Service Road of East Highway 80 at Club Drive. Under state law, the Midland woman could be placed on probation, or she could receive from 2 to 20 years in prison on each of the counts. If the jurors decide to send Garcia to prison, it will be up to 70th Ector County District Court Judge Den Whalen whether the sentences should be served consecutively. Garcia's plea agreement came at the start of what was supposed to be the second day of her trial. The range of sentencing she faces remains the same as if she was convicted by the jury. Prosecutors told jurors during opening statements Monday that Garcia and her husband, Cornell Hunt, were drinking at Toby's Lounge at the MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome for about 3 hours on July 13, 2019. They said the evidence will show Garcia consumed 7 cherry vodkas and was traveling by herself in her Chrysler 200 when she blew a stop sign at Club Drive, where the Frontage Road ends. According to the prosecutors, she then hit a curb and barricade signs, and then the twins, only coming to rest after striking a portable light stand. Following Garcia's guilty plea, prosecutors began to put on witnesses for the punishment phase of the trial including Isaac Coy, the twins' uncle, and Daniel Antonio Chavez, their cousin. Garcia sat with her head down throughout the day, rocking in her seat at times and studiously avoiding surveillance videos, body cam footage, and autopsy photos. Coy testified his two girls, ages 8 and 6 at the time, were playing with the twins when the tragedy unfolded. He said he didn't see Garcia's vehicle until it hit the barricade and there was so much dust in there he couldn't find his children. His wife found them uninjured, but then he saw his sister-in-law, Agueda, performing CPR on Mia. He was the one who found Maya, he said. She was about 15 yards away from the fireworks stand and lifeless. My sister picked her up and took her to my brother, Coy testified. As CPR commenced on Maya, too, Coy said he saw Garcia. She looked at me when I walked up to the car, he said. She just had a blank stare. She just stared at me. He got within 3 to 4 feet of her and could smell alcohol on her, and he noticed she had urinated on herself, he said. I just asked her, "What did you do? What did you do?" Coy said. Garcia didn't answer. She tried to approach the girls but was told to get away, he said. Daniel Chavez testified his grandfather, parents, and all of his aunts and uncles had been operating the stand for about 3 years at the time of the incident. He was conducting inventory with his dad that night. "I heard a crashing sound, like a thud," Chavez said. "I saw a bunch of dust in the air, and as soon as I looked that way, I saw something fly by me. It was one of the twins," the one family lovingly called Fatty, he said. "I was going to go and grab her and pick her up to see if she was okay," Chavez said. Her mother, Agueda, a nurse, called out for him not to move her. "It was too late. I already had her in my arms," Chavez said. They took her away and began to do CPR on her and her sister, Skinny, he said. They were hoping to keep them alive as much as they could until help arrived, he said. Chavez said he also smelled alcohol on Garcia and noticed she'd urinated in her pants. He watched her as she approached the twins. "She went to my uncle to try to hold him or get close to him, but she was shoved away," Chavez said, referring to the girl's father, Raul. "There was a bunch of yelling and screaming at her to get away." Chavez said he took her to the back of the fireworks stand and called 911. Some of the jurors stared at Garcia throughout the playing of the 911 call, which was punctuated by screams and wailing in the background and the sound of Chavez struggling to contain his sobs as he pleaded for help and tried to describe what had happened and the efforts to save the girls' lives. Chavez answered the dispatcher's questions about the condition of the girls, saying neither one was breathing and both were being worked on. He also provided her with Garcia's vehicle description and license plate. Toward the end of the call, Chavez twice tells the dispatcher the driver is trying to leave, but at that point officers had already arrived. During follow-up questioning from Assistant Ector County District Attorney Melissa Williams, Chavez explained that a man he later learned was Garcia's husband showed up at the scene out of nowhere. He put his arms around her and was making a movement like, let's go," Chavez testified. Chavez said that since the girls died, he has distanced himself from his family and become more cold-hearted. "The entire family just isn't as close as it once was," he said. "It's hard seeing his surviving cousins get older without the twins," he said. "There's something missing. It's just not the same," Chavez said. Jurors also watched several minutes of former Odessa Police Department officer Ricky Scott's body camera footage. Scott was the primary officer in charge of Garcia that evening, both at the scene and at hospital, where she received stitches to her lip. While at the scene, Garcia was highly emotional and distraught. On the way to the hospital, she fell asleep in the back of Scott's patrol car and was heard snoring. At the hospital, she was mostly subdued, soft-spoken, and spent most of the time with her eyes shut. When asked what happened, Garcia told Scott she was trying to go home and she hit something. There were kids there. I didn't know I hit any kids. I'm sorry, Garcia sobs. She admits to Scott she'd been drinking, and for the next several minutes, she repeatedly asks him if she'd killed someone. When a paramedic comes to check her out and ask her if she's hurt anywhere, she keeps interrupting him to ask about the twins and at one point tells him she doesn't care if she's hurt. She declined a ride to the hospital in an ambulance. Go check on them. I just want them to be okay, Garcia sobs. As time progresses, Garcia stops asking about the kids directly and instead starts asking repeatedly, "What did I do? What did I do?" Scott finally relents and tells her that she decided to get drunk and drive and she messed up. "Please tell me what I have done," Garcia pleads, sobbing, repeating the question in excess of 6 times. She then goes on to tell Scott that she doesn't drink all of the time and telling him not to look at her like she's a piece of expletive. When he eventually reminds her that she's struck 2 kids, Garcia asks how and where were they. At one point, she said she didn't see the road was closed or any signs indicating such. "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't ever drink," Garcia said. "What did I do? What did I do? I was just trying to get home." At another point, Garcia sobs, "I'm not this kind of person." Garcia later refuses to undergo field sobriety tests, telling another officer she just wants to know if the kids are okay. She admits to the same officer her husband hadn't wanted her to drive home. Again and again, Garcia apologizes. While at the hospital, Garcia said she had 4 cherry vodkas at Toby's Lounge and said she wasn't feeling well, but didn't know if it was because she'd been drinking. "The handcuffs aren't helping," Garcia said. She told officers she didn't know the name of the friends who had joined her and her husband at the bar or where they lived. She also repeatedly tried to interfere with the doctor who was trying to examine her mouth by raising her unhandcuffed arm. Scott eventually handcuffed it. Jurors also learned Wednesday that blood tests performed at the hospital showed Garcia had a blood alcohol level of 0.106. The legal limit in Texas is 0.08. Sergeant Lindsay Wakoff, a former accident reconstructionist for the Odessa Police Department, testified Garcia's airbag control module indicated her car was traveling at 64 miles per hour, 5 seconds prior to hitting the portable light stand, which was moved 35 feet upon impact. Her car showed no signs of braking until 16ths of a second after she hit the stand, Wakoff said. "The speed limit on the frontage road is 55 miles per hour," she said. Jurors also heard the testimony of Tarrant County Deputy Police Medical Examiner Dr. Tasha Greenberg, who outlined the gruesome injuries of the girls while displaying photos taken at their autopsies. "Medical intervention could not have saved either twin," she said. Sharon A. Swearingen, a former waitress at Toby's Lounge, testified that based on her recollection, the video surveillance, and the bar tab from the night, she believes she served Garcia 6 cherry vodkas that night, and a bartender served her a 7th. The last drink was served roughly 20 minutes before she left the bar, which was 3 minutes from the crash site. Swearingen told defense attorney Michael McLeish she did not believe Garcia was intoxicated when she was serving her, but in hindsight, after looking at surveillance video of Garcia walking out of the bar, she now believes she was showing signs of intoxication. The twins' parents settled a lawsuit with Toby's Lounge for an undisclosed sum in December 2021, although the jurors have not been told that. The jurors also heard from 2 former crime scene techs, Caitlin Paredes and Pat Harris, who were responsible for videotaping and photographing the scene and collecting evidence. Jurors were shown the clothing cut off the children at the hospital, photos of a single shoe from each of the girls, where they landed after they were struck, and photos of the crushed car. Harris testified he'd worked more than 400 death scenes during his career, and the deaths of the twins are one of the 2 most memorable and tragic cases he ever had. Crazy dust storm impacts Permian Basin. A wall of dust extending from Orla to Grand Falls made its way into the Odessa Midland area shortly before noon on Wednesday. The storm was estimated to be about 100 miles long, moving southwest at about 35 miles per hour. Both interstates 10 and 20 were impacted by the massive wall of dirt. Clear sunny skies from the morning were quickly replaced by a haze as a haboob reduced visibility down to nearly a quarter mile in some spots. A front outflow boundary began moving into the northern Permian Basin, accompanied by patchy blowing dust and gusty north winds at about 40 to 50 miles per hour, being reported by the National Weather Service in Midland. The outflow boundary originated from thunderstorms in the Panhandle Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning. Then cold air rised southward past the cotton fields north of the Odessa Midland area and picked up blowing dust. Science and Operations Manager at the National Weather Service in Midland, Brian Curran, said widespread blowing dust continued in the late morning hours along and behind the cold front, moving south toward the I-20 corridor. At about 1:17 p.m. Wednesday, visibility was still down to about a mile near the Midland International Air and Spaceport and was much less in other parts of Odessa and Midland. Locally, visibility dropped down toward a quarter of a mile, Curran said. Basically, what happened is thunderstorms cooled the air. Hundreds of cubic miles of air that hit the ground spread out and splashed and created the strong haboob, which raced toward the Odessa area before noon. The dust storm continued to move south with winds between 40 and 50 miles per hour during Wednesday afternoon. A dust storm advisory was issued for much of the counties in the Permian Basin, including Ector, Brewster, Crane, Culberson, Glasscock, Jeff Davis, Loving, Midland, Pecos, Reagan, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, and Winkler. Dusty conditions were expected to improve throughout the afternoon, with visibilities improving by the late afternoon. Today's high is expected to be about 98 degrees Fahrenheit with a low of 78 and clear skies. Friday is expected to be back in the triple digits with a high of 102 and a low of 75. Triple digit temperatures and mostly clear skies are expected to last throughout the weekend and into next week, with Monday expecting a high of 104. Help Odessans beat the heat. Salvation Army also needs help sending kids to camp. Summer may not technically start for another 2 weeks, but people in West Texas have already suffered through the triple-digit temperatures in the last few weeks. That might make this summer's annual fan drive between the Salvation Army and Westlake Ace Hardware more crucial. For the last 10 years, Westlake Ace and the Salvation Army have partnered up to help provide fans for families in need. The fan drive takes place at 127 Westlake Ace stores nationwide, including the Odessa location at 4652 East University Boulevard. This year's drive started last week and will continue through June 19th. During the campaign, customers at participating Westlake Ace stores are asked to round up their purchases or donate any amount of their choice. Since starting the fan drive in Odessa, more than $11,400 has been raised, which equates to more than 700 fans given to people in need. 10 years, I don't know if that means the heat keeps going up, Odessa Salvation Army Major Luis Melendez said. I'm not the weather guy or anything like that, but it sure seems like every year the summers are hotter. I arrived here last year and haven't seen rain for like 10 months. What I've seen is an increase in heat. Triple digits are scary numbers. Nobody needs to be out in the heat that way. We're a cooling station, but we also have fans. Wednesday's high for Odessa was around 103 degrees. The high for Thursday is expected to be 98 degrees, while Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday are all expecting triple-digit temperatures. Melendez wants people to also know that the Salvation Army is always a cooling station. If anybody is in the vicinity, can walk in and say they're here for a cooling station, they'll get 30 minutes, Melinda said. We'll give you some water and rest, and then you can be on your way. Donations also stay in the community. All of it stays locally, assistant manager at Westlake in Odessa, Jacob Rizzo said. It doesn't go outside of town. All donations stay here in town, and they help local families. After the drive, people that are in need of a fan that can't afford one can then stop by the Salvation Army with their IDs and prove that they live in Ector County. Swing by the Salvation Army and share your story. Let us know you're from Ector County and bring your ID and say, I need a fan. Melinda said, it's that simple. We want to give them out this year. We don't want to have to save 10 or 50 of them. We want to give them out. Thanks to the donors who have helped out. We're pleased to be part of this. This is one of the ways we express the love beyond the heat of the summer by providing the resource of these fans so nobody can go sweaty and hot and messy. We have triple digits out here. Last year, Melinda's said about 202 fans were given out of the 300 total. There was a small surplus, but that's okay, Melinda said. My shout out to the community is that there's no need to be without air circulation in your home. The partnership between the Salvation Army and Westlake originally started at one store in Hutchinson, Kansas. Since then, it's blossomed with new participants every year. It started out with just one store to see how it will kick off, and within the last 10 years, we've added 127 Westlake stores, and we have 150 stores nationwide. We're almost completely full on partnerships with the Salvation Army and all the Westlake stores. Rizzo says one reason for the fan drive's increase has been because of its benefit to the local community. When you mention that it stays within the community, that it is helping local community members, it motivates more people to help out, Rizzo said. One of our core values is service. That's what we like to do, service our communities. Melinda's has been thankful for the partnership between Westlake and the Salvation Army. The partnership means a whole great deal to the Salvation Army, Melinda said. We can't provide a lot of the basic needs for our community without the help of ACE, so we're glad that we have them in place to help us provide this need and that they're doing it yearly. ACE can't do it without the community themselves, like each individual. People who want to help donate online can do so at tinyurl.com/4NT6BEYB. CAMP, the Odessa Salvation Army, is also providing the opportunity to send children to the Salvation Army Camp Hoblitzel in Midlothian over the summer. The campaign is part of the Salvation Army's Love Beyond, and the requirement is that the child has to be part of one of the Salvation Army's programs. One thing to clarify is one of the conditions is that the child has to be a part of our programs, Melinda said. We have several programs. We have Taekwondo. Those kids are all eligible, and if their parents want to send them to a Salvation Army camp, then the money is there. That's one of the numerous benefits of being in the Salvation Army programs, Melinda said. We're spreading the word out for people to be with it. Melinda said, one of the benefits of being in our program is being able to go to camps. Programs at the Salvation Army of Odessa include Vacation Bible School and Wednesday Night Character Building. It's like Bible studies that some churches have on Wednesday nights, but we just call it Character Building, Melinda said. Then we have Sunday schools at 10 a.m. Camp Hoblitzel is located about an hour south of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. It has horseback riding and archery and basketball and swimming and art and all sorts of outdoor and indoor games, Melinda said. It's a good time for kids to meet other kids from the state of Texas and gather together. All of them are children that participate in some way at the Salvation Army and are low income where their parents can't afford to send them to a big camp, then that's where the money comes from. It comes from Love Beyond. The Love Beyond campaign has helped children in the area, and the Salvation Army of Odessa wants them to know what programs are offered. The Love Beyond campaign is that we appreciate the kids in our community, and we want them to be a part of what we offer, Melinda said. As part of coming to Sunday schools or meetings midweek on Wednesday night, even VBS, that enrolls kids for the opportunity if they want to attend summer camp. The parents let us know and we let them go because we have collected money for that, because donors have contributed for that. That's where our service of love goes beyond, and we can take the kids and let them enjoy a fun time at our camp in Midlothian. People who want to donate can do so at the Salvation Army's website at tinyurl.com/MUNC3HEN. Quick hits, free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Mariachi and Ballet Workshops. Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland has scheduled the 16th annual Mariachi and Ballet Workshops through Friday. Workshops will focus on the following instrument: viola, guitarrón, guitar, violin, trumpet, harp, and vocal. Folklorico region fee is $50 per student. Workshops will be held at the Abel Junior High School, 3201 Heritage Boulevard, Midland. Workshop schedule is today, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday, 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The Fiesta de Garibaldi competition and showcase will take place at 6:30 p.m. today at Legacy High School Auditorium, 3500 Neely Avenue, Midland. Admission is $5 and kids 12 and under are free. Noche de Mariachi concert will take place Friday at the Midland College Al G. Langford Chaparral Center, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland. Student concert will be at 6:30 and Mariachi Los Viajeros at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $15 for adults and $10 for children 12 and under. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/3PXE4VEH. Oil and Gas Career Fair. Oil and Gas Career Fair has been scheduled from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. today at the MCM Grande Hotel Fun Dome, 6201 East Business I-20. Visit tinyurl.com/KANRACXN. Book Club. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled Percy Jackson Book Club from 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. today at the Library Basement Activity Room, 321 West 5th Street. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Back to School Drive. First Basin Credit Union is requesting monetary donations for the 7th annual Back to School Donation Drive through July 27th. Donations may be made at amount number 80001-02 at any FBCU locations in Odessa, Midland, or Andrews. FBCU will kick off the drive with a $500 donation. All donations collected will be presented to the Rainbow Room at the Permian Basin for purchasing school supplies for the upcoming school year. For more information, call Amanda Hawley, Community Engagement Coordinator, 432-248-1443, email ahawley@firstbasin.com or visit firstbasin.com. OC Preview Day Fair Set. Representatives from all of the OC instructional departments, student organizations, services, and resources will be on hand to answer questions and assist attendees for the OC Preview Day Fair set for 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. today at the outdoor amphitheater behind the Salisbury Campus Center. If the weather is not conducive to an outdoor event, the fair will be held inside of the Salisbury Campus Center. Hamburgers will be provided by Complex Community Federal Credit Union. Food trucks will also be available, and the evening's activities will include giveaways, live music, a talent show finale, and much more. Obituaries for June 9th. Ronnie Wayne Hobbs, age 62, of Odessa, passed away Friday, June 3rd, in Great Bend, Kansas, as a result of injuries sustained in a racing accident. Ronnie was born April 28, 1960, in Monahans, Texas. Ronnie is survived by his wife, Mara, son, Landon, and daughter-in-law, Kayla. Stepsons, Nick Barham and Cooper Barham, and wife, Lauren, and their children. Stepdaughter, Molly Barham. He is also survived by the mother of his son, Karen Hobbs, brothers, Daryl Hobbs and Carrie Hobbs, his mother, Jackie Chastain, and his mother-in-law, Tommy Ann Montgomery, and her husband Monty, and his beloved Lone Star family, his best friend Harley. The family welcomes guests for the visitation at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home on Thursday, June 9th at 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. The funeral service will be held at Crossroads Fellowship, located at 6901 East State Highway 191 in Odessa, on Friday, June 10th at 10 a.m., followed by intermittent at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Mara and Landon extend their heartfelt thanks and are eternally grateful to those who offered support, kindness, and compassion on the evening of the accident. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home to send condolences to the family. Please go sign his guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Angel Alvarez Alvarado, 44, of Odessa, died Sunday, June 5th, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 11 a.m., June 10th, at Hope Alive Church, 305 East 19th Street. Burial will be at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Cliff de Armand is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.